Michael, for those who don't know me. Before I begin, I just want to give a quick shout out to my friend Dan Hummel. It's his birthday today. So if you see him, say happy birthday. And Pastor Chuck, we're glad you're back. That's good to see you. And Liz, we had some great pianists while you were away, but today you were jamming. So if we're glad he's back, we're really glad you're back. So we missed you guys. If you will, turn to your Bible two places. I want you to go to Matthew 18 and Luke 17. And today I want to talk about forgiveness in Jesus' teaching. And not necessarily forgiveness that he gives us, but forgiveness that he commands us to give others. While you're turning there, I got a little fun fact. Went to a lot Sunday and Monday. We drove down there on Sunday and drove back on Monday with four other people in the car. And we just, that's a lot of conversation. We just listed fun facts like, you know, a blue whale's heart is the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. It's a big heart. So fun facts are just, you know, little bits of information you can do nothing with. And the first story we're going to read in Matthew 18, starting at 21, it talks about talents. And a fun fact about talents is I get commentaries and like, well, this is that much amount of money or that's this amount of money. It varies left and right. And I don't know, are they Bible scholars? Are they economists? How can they tell? But one source really helped me figure out when they're talking about talents, how much money are we talking about here? One man said, it can buy a battleship, outfit it with soldiers and slaves and their equipment. So I don't know how much that equates to modern money, but a talent is a lot. So when you're reading this story and the man owes 10,000 talents, he's broke. So let's start in verse 21 of Matthew 18. Then Peter came up to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered and says, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now that's the teaching bit. And I'm really unclear what 77 times means. Some people say, well, is it the number or is it just that many times a day? I'm going to go and say it means every time. But this parable we're going to get into, I want you to hear it like it's a story, like it's the first time that you've ever heard it. And you can read along, absolutely, but just let it have a climax and a conclusion for you, because I think it's very powerful. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debts, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay me back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servants in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had the mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. And this is in red, and it's the punchline. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Today's message is very personal. It's personal for me, but it might be personal for you too. I come because I want to say it because it's been on my heart for a while. I don't know who it's for. I'm preparing for this sermon. It might have been just for me because I was brought to conviction. And I hope if it's for you that you have conviction too. And since conviction always says there's a way out, it's Jesus. The condemnation says you're just a sinner. this issue of forgiveness for other people from their heart is not really an idea for Jesus that sounds nice, but as we're going to go through some scriptures in the New Testament and Old Testament, it's a command of God. It's an expectation. And this story is kind of easy for us to understand. It's an abstract concept. What is it to forgive my brother from my heart? The perspective is, as we're going to go through verses, that as God has forgiven you everything, so you can forgive others. 10,000 talents, 10,000 battleships, how much ever money that is. Well, 100 denarii is about a third of a year's wage. It's a big amount of money, but it's nowhere near the amount he owed. And so what Jesus is saying in a very tangible picture for us is, as God has forgiven you of everything, it really should be a non-issue for you to forgive others. With that idea in mind, flip over to Luke 17 if you're still there. I want to start in verse 3, and we're going to go to verse 10. And this is Jesus again. He says, "So watch yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostle said, "Lord, increase our faith." And he replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Would he rather not say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink.' He would thank the servant because he did what he was told to do. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" So Jesus again gives another teaching on if someone asks for forgiveness or if someone wrongs you, if your brother sins against you, you need to forgive him. And the apostle's response is like, "Oh, we need more faith for this." And Jesus just snaps back and says, look, it's not about, I think he does a face palm. I really think he goes, "Oh." If it's not about faith, guys, if you had a servant doing his job and he goes about and does his job, are you going to say, "Oh, good job, you did your job"? No, it's expected. And so he says at the end of this little explanation of a servant doing his duty, are you going to praise him, say, "Yeah, you did it, good job"? Or he's like, "Well, you did what I told you to do." And so the apostles say, well, if we got to forgive our brothers, you need to increase our faith. And Jesus says, it's not about faith. I told you to do it, so do it. But there's more compassion in Jesus than that, just flat out do it. But it's kind of a, can be a stinger for me at least. I don't know about you. I like this little proverbial saying that bitterness or unforgiveness is like drinking a poison and hoping the other person will die. And for me, I first heard this type of teaching on bitterness or just you have to forgive. I'd been in my Bible my entire life, but in 2006, I was at a conference where they started to speak on just you have to forgive. It's a command from God that I'd like to place about forgiveness. I want to say forgiveness is not a free pardon of an offense or a wrongdoing that someone has wronged you for, in the sense that you're completely going to trust them and everything's okay. I think forgiveness is an excuse of the action, but trust has to be re-earned. And so in a sense, it's not saying, well, you wronged me, and now you can wrong me again, and you can wrong me again, and you can wrong me again. But it's a process where we release their sin against us because God's released our sins against him, and then we can rebuild trust with them. That's what I want to get into the message with, of how to forgive and what does it look like, and bring in a little bit of examples from my life. So starting with that, I think there are three subjects in our lives that God is looking for forgiveness, or through counseling others that I've seen people need to forgive to really be set free from this sin, for lack of a better word. And since it's a command from God, that if we don't do it, we're out of step. And I think the first subject that we have to go through in this process of forgiving is I've met many people who can be bitter against God. The situations of what's going on in my life, where I am, what another person did to me, or a loss of a loved one, that we've become bitter against God. And I've seen that drive people away from faith or to just be completely resentful. And they're full of this poison. And I really believe there's a freedom that comes if that's you, when you realize what God was doing in the situation. For example, if you haven't heard this verse today, it's a good verse to hear, that Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, thoughts to give you a future and a hope." But that verse is set in the context of a people that are being set off to exile. Verse 10 talks about, "I'm bringing you into Babylon for 70 years. And then verse 12 says, "Once you go to Babylon, you'll come back to me and realize that I've been working this out for you all along." And we quote verse 29:11, "I know the plans I have for you," as though things in life are going well and there's no hardships. But that's given to a people that God just said, "You've been so disobedient, I'm sending you away just so you'll come back to me." Isaiah 48:10 talks about, "As I have refined you, though not as silver is refined, I refined you in the furnace of affliction to test your faith, because I will not share my glory with another. I will do this so you will know that I am the Lord." That's 10 and 11 and 48. And I've met and counseled a number of people who are bitter against God because they look at their life situation and say, "I don't get why God let this happen. I don't know where he was or why, if God is loving, would he do this?" And I go to the verse in Peter, 1 Peter, which says, "Your faith being tested in fire," like your faith, which is, you know what, I should probably just read it. 1 Peter 7 says, "These things have come," which is these hard times, "so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." For me, one thing that helps, it sounds awkward to say this, but for some people who need to forgive God, realize the situations they're in is God was working in their life to refine their faith and trust in him. And it's not as though God needs to be forgiven, but sin in our life separates us from God, and it muddles things to a point where we have a perspective that we hold God accountable for something that he is not for. Yet that doesn't change our attitude towards him to say that, "I'm sorry, and I release you," because what God was doing for you is he has a plan and a future and a hope for you, plans to prosper you. And yet there are hard things that come in our life to refine our faith, because ultimately that's the most important thing, is that we have a trusting relationship with him. So that's one area of forgiveness. The second is towards other people. It's very in the Luke 17 verse, "If your brother sins against you, you must forgive him from your heart." It's pretty clear that we have to forgive other people, but sometimes they're people. And they don't ask for forgiveness. And they don't say, "I'm sorry." And they don't look to right the relationship. Or they might even not know it. And that's the worst thing, to come up to someone and say, "I forgive you." For what? Now the tables have turned. But it affects our relationships with them, and it'll affect our future relationships with others if we harbor resentment or bitterness or unforgiveness. And as I was saying, this idea that you have to forgive is throughout the Bible. This one passage in Ephesians 4, starting at verse 26. I'm going to skip around in this chapter just a few. It says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. And skipping down to verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ and God forgave you. Again, Paul, in this book of Ephesians, he relates forgiving other people to the same way you can forgive because God has forgiven you. Now, we all have relationships with people in our lives, so I think we all, on some levels, have experienced a point where we've been wronged, lied to, cheated, taken advantage of, whatever. And so I think that's why so many times in the Bible it says you must forgive. And Jesus says it is a command because he knew we'd be in relationship with people. For me, as I started off earlier saying, when the first time I heard something, a message like this, I was sitting next to my mom, my family. One of my best friends growing up, his parents divorced when he was very young. And I faulted his mom for that because she just seemed really selfish in the situation, because it really wrecked his life and eventually wrecked his faith, because it was one of those situations where he was bitter against God. He would say things like, well, if God was really love and my parents said they loved each other but they were able to divorce, how can I believe in God anymore? That was later in life. And so I held resentment against her. And that was one of the people that my mom listed. I said, well, Mom, I really don't think I'm mad with anyone or I have bitterness or towards anyone. She's like, well, what about so-and-so? It's like, oh, yeah, she's a jerk. And I think for us, what I can relate it to is when you think of a person and there's something goes off in your gut, like a ping, or like just this negativity that goes towards a person, I don't think we've truly gone through a process of forgiveness with them. Because I know people who say they've forgiven other people, but when they talk about it, you wouldn't know it. Or they might pray for someone, but it feels like one of those manipulative prayers. And Lord, please bless them to stop doing this. And please bless them to, when they speak to me, ask for forgiveness. Or it's just kind of manipulating prayers. It's almost as if they're thinking, yes, I've forgiven them and we'll both be in heaven, but it's a big place, so we'll never run into each other. It's okay. But I don't think that's forgiveness from the heart. I don't think that's what our Lord is asking of us. And it gets real, very personal, very quickly, in the Lord's Prayer that we just prayed over in Matthew 6, the two verses after the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says in verse 14, if you do not forgive others their sin, my heavenly Father will not forgive you. But if you do forgive others when they sin against you, my heavenly Father will forgive you. And the Lord's Prayer itself, when we said, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are debtors, or forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who transgressed us, or forgive us our sins for those who have sinned against us, it's a comparative statement. It could be one of the most damning prayers we pray, in the sense, forgive my sin to the same level that I forgive other people's sin. And one thing I've found with people who have unforgiveness towards someone else in their life can sometimes be a struggle with knowing if they're forgiven or not. I don't even think they're thinking about this verse, but they have taken on such a personality of bitterness that they're like, I ask God for forgiveness, but I just don't know. It's very serious, I believe. I take Jesus' words at face value here. And if you think about the parable that we read in Matthew 18, where he said, so the king threw the man who owed 10,000 talents into the dungeon to be tormented, so my heavenly Father will do with you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. I think it's torture for Christians that I know who are unwilling to forgive struggle with, do I know if God forgives me or not? It's a beautiful promise through Jesus Christ. Faith in him is the forgiveness of sins, complete. But I think what he's saying at the end of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 is, God does not want a hypocrite in their faith. I'm willing to receive what you have for me, but I will not give it to other people. There's so many passages that I'm trying not to quote, not over Bible, but I love it. You know, freely you have received, so freely give. And I'm talking about this today because it was on my heart for a few months. And maybe once again, it was just for me, because even in preparing this sermon, I was all over the place, all over the place with conviction of myself. Like, this person really has been getting on my nerves. Why? Or going a whole list, but it doesn't seem right. I think there is a point where we can relate to Jesus' words in our lives because of the relationships we have with others. That he expects us to have the same grace towards others in our life that he has had towards us. And it's so freeing, because once we do that, we start to walk closer with him, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's very powerful. The last subject that I want to consider for forgiveness is your own self. Whenever I've spoken with others about this subject of bitterness on a one-on-one level, sometimes people have regrets or shame, or they're just caught in an addiction that they hate themselves for. And they say, you know, I can't believe I keep on doing fill in the blank, because I know I believe in Jesus, I know I'm saved, but I won't stop doing that. And for me, I always find in that situation that they will not forgive themselves. And the commandment that we just read in the end of the Shema, love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's a level of grace that we have to extend to our own selves to experience what Christ has done for us, that we have to view ourselves like God has viewed us, that we are worthy of forgiveness, that you are human, that you're going to make a mistake. And when you do, you write it, but then you have to let yourself be forgiven. It can be very hard to do, but it's very important to do. At the end of the, right after John 3:16 comes this verse that I think a lot of people who struggle with this don't know. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. In the sense that when people are caught in addiction, or when people have regrets against the things that they have not done or have not done, they sometimes say, well, I'm a Christian, so I should have known better, and I should stop doing this. They got to heap up on the condemnation on themselves, but if God didn't send Jesus to condemn you, we don't have the right to condemn ourselves either. I want to leave with this one last thought about this bitterness. In Hebrews 12, verse 15 is another point that talks about bitterness or unforgiveness, however you want to call it. And it says that see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And I think that's what we can do when we don't forgive ourselves sometimes, is that we actually miss the grace of God that he's given towards us. And that verse goes on to say that see that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his birthright, and goes on. And this word right before it, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and no root of bitterness springs up so you won't become defiled, carries this, it's a Greek word that carries this sexual immorality. And I've noticed that in people who are self-bitter, they get caught in addictions easier. And so just to briefly recap what I've been saying this morning is that it's a command from Jesus that we have the same amount of grace towards everyone that he's had towards us. And I promise if you don't, you will be caught I want to say it more gently. It's torture. That not forgiving others when they wrong you, I promise torture for you. And we can have bitterness towards God, we can have bitterness towards others, and we have bitterness towards ourselves, the three areas of our lives that sin affects. And it's been a very deep and serious message. I would have liked more jokes, I just couldn't find any appropriate ones. But right now, I want to just have a moment of silence for ourselves and pray that if anyone has come to your mind that has wronged you, that mistreated you, that you are harboring any type of unforgiveness or resentment towards, I want to strongly encourage you to forgive them. And it's hard. I think it takes the grace and the power of God and His Holy Spirit working in us, but I promise it'll be freedom. As I was talking about my friend's mom when I was little, who I was just so angry towards, and some others, as I began to forgive, it felt like layers of onions were being pulled off me, in the sense that it was just like a spiritual freedom, and I was able to relate to others in a way that I was not able to before. And I think that's what Jesus came to do. I think He came to restore us to a right relationship with God, a right relationship with others, and a right relationship towards ourselves. I think Jesus came to reverse the effects of sin in our life. And maybe you are ready to forgive someone right now, or maybe you need something, some time just to think on it and pray about it. That's why I brought these verses in this message today, so that maybe today, or when you next time have a time of quiet time with the Lord, that you could start to forgive people for whatever offense you hold against them. I promise it'll be freeing. I promise it'll be restoring. I promise it'll be good. So if you feel comfortable, would you bow your head with me in prayer, and we'll just spend a little, I'll watch the clock, and see if you need to forgive anyone from your heart like Jesus asked you to do. Father, we thank You that You sent Jesus to save us, and not only for eternal life, but for life here today. And I pray for all of us that we would avoid unforgiveness. And if we need to forgive anyone, that You'd bring it to our mind right now. If people are struggling with regret or not being able to forgive themselves, I pray that You'd free them to be able to do that now, Lord. And would You walk with us in this? We need You. In Jesus' name, amen. I can still see on some people's faces that you're still thanking and praying and taking it very seriously. Take as much time as you need. Thank you for listening. I pray that the Lord continue to work with you. If you need someone to pray with, I know the leaders of the church would be happy to. If you need someone to talk to about this very personal issue, I know there's people here at the church that would love to pray with you and talk to you about it. And if you'd like some of these verses, you can come get them from me and think and pray about it, because it's a very serious personal issue, and I know it's not for it. Not everyone is struggling with bitterness or unforgiveness. I just felt like there were people that, when I was praying about this message, I just kept being drawn back to these verses. So thank you, and God bless you. May the Lord be with you.
Thank you, Michael, for that excellent message on forgiveness. And if we were in most congregations in the States, we couldn't do what we're going to do right now. Is that ready, Joe? We've heard the scripture. We've heard the testimony in word of Michael. But this is just about two and a half minute thing that I've been sharing with a lot of people, but it's as much a miracle that it's being shown on CBS News in the States, a very secular national coast-to-coast network, as the message itself. So just take a look.
Powers on earth. It can change lives in an instant. Everyone has it. It's the power to forgive. Watch it now in action in Steve Hartman's Assignment America.
Excuse the quality of the picture. It wasn't dark enough, but I think you got the message. It goes right along with Michael's message on forgiveness, and I urge all of us to be seriously committed to forgiving ourselves, forgiving God, and forgiving others. I'm constantly practicing it myself. At this stage, and none of us are beyond this truth. Christine.
We're going to take the second offering, and this is for Josh and Julie Korn in Nigeria. Most of us know them, their family. And Annika is going this week. And miraculously, her visa came through. It was touch and go there. So she's waiting on tenderhooks for it to arrive. It's been approved, right? So she's waiting for it to arrive. So we can, number one, be praying for Annika, that she gets to leave as planned. But also, we